the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill on 1010XL. Presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic. Here are your hosts, Ryan the Hacker Green and Leon Searcy.
He drops the throw. Fires middle of the field. Caught by Chris Manhurst into the end zone. Touchdown! Lawrence to Manhurst for the score, and Jacksonville is on the board.
Frank Frangie on the call. Jaguars radio. That was one of, well, very few positives today for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they lose the season opener to the Houston Texans, 37-21. Welcome on in. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Jacksonville's area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic, and we are live, as we will be after every 1 o'clock Jaguar game, live at Perfect Rack Billiards, 1186 Edgewood Avenue. Leon, this is our home away from home.
That's right, baby.
It is a festive atmosphere in here. We are happy to be here for a large majority of the fifth quarters this year. Unfortunately, we're going to be here for the next 2 hours talking about, well, quite a stink fest in Houston, Texas today.
It was bad. It was bad football all around, all facets of the game, offense, defense, special teams. But, you know, you aired something earlier that we can build on. Trevor Lawrence's first touchdown as a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yep.
The man hurts. So, you know, that's something that we can be proud of. But it was the same old Jaguars. If you look at the game, it was the same old Jaguars. I looked at the game, uninspired football, lackadaisical, going through the motions. And you thought that this was going to be the new year, the new regime with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, that we would see a new brand of football. But in my opinion, we got the same old Jaguars that we got from a year ago.
Jacksonville phone lines are open to you, as they always are here on the fifth quarter, 641-1010. If you want to get involved in the program, you are more than welcome to do so, 641-1010. Leon, I'll tell you where I'm at. I got to the point in watching today's game, particularly in the second half, when the game was absolutely no longer in doubt, where I realized, and I probably should have realized this earlier, yeah, you want to win games this year, obviously, that goes without saying, but this year's all about Trevor Lawrence. And normally we talk about garbage time, Blake Bortles and his garbage yards, or Gardner Minshew and his garbage yards. Well, I enjoyed every one of Trevor Lawrence's garbage yards today, because you need to learn. You need to get the kid reps. And obviously they did that. And I like the fact that they punched it in the end zone there late in the game. He threw for 330 yards, three passing touchdowns. So in a losing effort, yeah, it sucks. But I did enjoy watching Trevor move the offense down, even if it was late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, no, I enjoyed watching them early on. But I found myself watching Trevor, especially when they were down a couple of points, when they were down 10, 14, 20 points. I saw him pressing a little bit. I saw him doing some things that I wasn't accustomed to seeing Trevor Lawrence doing, especially since I've watched these kids since he was at Clemson. He was trying to get the team back in the game. And some of the throws that he was making, some errant throws he was making, some overthrows, some underthrows, he was rolling out. And the pick, the cross the field. You just don't make those kind of throws in the NFL level. The DBs are too smart. They're too good. They're too fast. And then the second interception that he made, and it was in zone coverage, and he stared down the receiver, and the DB saw him. You see, he was trailing his eyes, basically what he was doing. He was trailing his eyes, and he saw him stare down the receiver, and he jumped on the route, and he made an interception. So although it was some good, there was some bad, and there was some ugly when it came to Trevor Lawrence, right, in this game. And you got to expect that. Now, this, as much as you want to say he's the first pick overall, he's this franchise quarterback, he had to go through his growing pains today. This is the NFL. This is the big boy league. You put on your big boy pants. And today, Trevor Lawrence, he got a spanking. He got a little whooping today.
Well, there's a reason that it goes back all the way to David Carr in 2002. Not Derek Carr, David Carr in 2002 as the last number one pick in the draft to win their regular season opener. Andrew Luck didn't do it. Jameis Winston didn't do it. You name any rookie quarterback, number one overall pick that started right out of the gate. They did not win their season openers, and the reason is simple. The Texans might lack a little bit in talent. Lovie Smith is an unbelievable defensive mind, and Leon, there is no doubt that he baited Trevor Lawrence into a couple of those throws today.
Because he's an experienced vet. Lovie Smith's been in this game over 20-some-odd years as a head coach and a defensive coordinator. And, I'm sure he was licking his chops when he saw, as much as you want to talk about Trevor Lawrence being the first pick overall, he's still a rookie. And what Lovie Smith did is that he gave him that man coverage blitz where he had the 2-3 techniques, had the two linebackers walk in the middle. He had press coverage on each side of the ball. And sometimes he brought the linebackers, sometimes he's dropped them out, and then he blitzed them in Trevor Lawrence. He got baited into some of that stuff where he made some errant throws. But listen, this is the growing pains of playing in the NFL. Some rookies look good, some rookies look bad. I think Trevor Lawrence, for the most part was, I don't want to say mediocre, because that's a harsh word, but he was below average. If you would give him a grade today, it would probably be, in my assessment, it would be a C-.
You know, today for me was all about Trevor Lawrence, and the reason why is because the game was never in doubt in the second half. It was 17-7. You're trying to get to the locker room, kind of regroup. The Texans get a field goal up 20-7 with about a minute to go. Jacksonville, inexplicably to me, three straight incompletions, bam, 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 only takes roughly 10, 11 seconds off the clock. You punt it back to Houston. They hit a bomb to Brandon Cooks. I'm about had it with Brandon Cooks. That guy has caused the Jaguar organization a lot of pain over the years. They put it in the end zone before halftime. Leon, it's 27-7. This game's over. Now, my question to you, clock management, penalties. I mean, how many NFL teams get penalized for 12 men in the offensive huddle? How many NFL teams get three illegal formation penalties, four holding penalties? It was a sloppy game. We're going to talk a lot about Trevor. Phone lines are loaded. Well, but from the penalties and just the lack of execution, it left a lot to be desired.
Well, heck, look, listen, we got out-coached today, too, as well. As much as we got beat on the field, offense, defense, and special teams, we got out-coached. And the reason why I say we got out-coached is because if you look at both rosters are relatively equal, all right? Both rosters are not they're uninspired rosters, okay? We're trying to rebuild, they're trying to rebuild. But for whatever reason, the Houston Texans came out and they played inspired football. They got after it, offense, defense, special teams. I mean, and you're talking about Cooks. You're talking about on those two bombs. I'm looking at Jenkins that we paid a boatload of money to. I mean, he needs to get back in the gym. I mean, he got that ball wrestled from him not once but twice on two deep throws. I mean, you can't have two relatively equal rosters, rebuild rosters. One team comes out and plays inspired football and gets after it. Other team is sleepwalking. That has a lot to do with not only the performance of the players on the field, but also the coaching staff to not have those guys geared up for game one, week one NFL football.
Again, we're live, Perfect Rack Billiards, Edgewood Avenue, our home away from home here on the fifth quarter during the Jaguar season. We're here after every 1 o'clock Jacksonville Jaguar game. And a big thank you to Corey and everybody here at Perfect Rack Billiards for having us. We'll tell you all about the great specials. I'll tell you this, what I already love about this setup, not that I don't love the home field advantage, right? The world headquarters at 1010XL. Mm. But now you and I, after the 1 o'clock games, we're branching out. We got every 4 o'clock game on all these TVs here at Perfect Rack Billiards. There is a ton going on, including a beating going on at TIAA Bank Field right now. My goodness, New Orleans just pummeling Green Bay, I think to the point where they've actually taken Aaron Rodgers out of the game. It is 31-3 New Orleans as they're putting the finishing touches on an absolute beatdown. Now, Rodgers is still in there, down 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Phone lines are jammed. We knew there would be. We appreciate you guys calling even after a loss on opening day. And let's get to you right now. 641-1010 is the phone number. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. It has been 9 months since we've been to Buffalo, New York. But one of the loyal, loyal members of the fifth quarter is our guy Junior in Buffalo. He is the first caller of the year here in 2021. Junior, how are we doing?
I wish I could say would have been better tonight if we would have had a win on the board, but it's hard to swallow 16 straight losses, guys. It's hard to swallow that. But I knew coming to the season what we were going to be. You could tell that we were a young team, a rookie team out there. And again, what Mr. Searcy said, uninspired. I saw the same thing. We were playing uninspired football when we got out there. And that's what I was worried about, how they're going to manage if they were going to get behind like they did all last season. If they got behind the eight ball, how were they going to fight back? And they really didn't show that. I'm hoping that this is a learning process and we'll get better. And I'm looking to the future. And I think we're going to get better. And I'm hoping everything works out. And that's all I got to say. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Junior, appreciate the phone call. I'll tell you something that bothered me. when you have a rookie quarterback, you got to step up and help him out. Josh Lambeau, you got to make that 55-yarder. I know it's 55 yards, but you need to make that. DJ Chark, you got to catch that ball on third down, man. I mean, that, you know, if you want to get paid at the end of the year, you got to catch that football. There were like four drops. All right, your rookie quarterback had to throw 51 times because your defense couldn't stop anybody today. When he's dropping back there, at least catch the ball for him. Help him out a little bit. The drops, Leon, were driving me crazy.
Well, heck, not only the drops, but we're not going to win a lot of football games if Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball 51 times. You know, you just showed a stat to me earlier before we came on the air. Where was the run game?
James Robinson ran it five times.
I mean, here's a guy who was an undrafted free agent, rushed for over 1,000 yards last year, and you didn't even incorporate him in the offense. It was almost that he shouldn't have been there. We're not going to win a lot of games if Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball over 50 times a game. He's got to have some kind of balance to set off his passing game where he can do the play action, where he can roll out. I mean, when the last time he ran the screen? Anything to just keep the pressure off him. All the Houston Texans were doing it was they were playing press coverage and bringing it to. We got to be able to utilize their rush game against them. We didn't have anything like that. I don't want to say we were ill-prepared in any way, but it was a lot of times out there I'm watching the game and I'm saying to myself, I mean, what is the team doing? What is the coordinator doing? I mean, how can we not offset their speed rush with something else to keep them in check? We just didn't do it.
You know, Carlos Hyde, 9 for 44. James Robinson, 5 for 25. Laviska Shenault, 1 for 9. All in all, they had 16 carries for 76 yards. Now, understanding the game made you throw the ball because you're trailing by so much, but they averaged darn near 5 yards a carry. And look, James Robinson, how many times have we seen in a very short career for James Robinson him bust a decent run that gets called back for holding? Happened in the first quarter today. James Robinson busts a 13-yarder. Jaguars have a lot of momentum. Holding, Brandon Leonard, 10-yard penalty. Well, just absolutely drives you nuts.
Well, you know, I'm watching the play. And listen, Brandon Leonard's a seasoned vet. I mean, he's one of the top 10 centers in the NFL. But he made a rookie mistake. And I'm watching the play. And when you're trying to get to the second level, you don't run to where the linebacker is. You run to where he's going to be. So Brandon Leonard is running directly at the linebacker, doesn't get his head to the play side, and he ends up having to grab the guy. If he runs to where the guy's going to be at, gets his head on the play side, he washes that guy by. James Robinson's off to the races, and now you don't have to hold. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that coach in me right now, Hack. I was watching it, and I was saying to myself, come on, Leonard, you've been in the league long enough. You don't run at the linebacker, especially when it's outside zone. You run to where he's going to be at, not to where he is, and that's the reason why he had to hold, because he had his head on the backside instead of the play side.
Let's go to the south side here on the fifth quarter. Let's get Mimi up here on 1010XL. Mimi, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Good to talk to you again.
Same to you.
First of all, I am amazed and shocked that 10 penalties were committed in this game all by veterans. Not rookies, veterans, okay? That's why Leon said looked like the old Jaguars. Number two, Josh, what's wrong with you, bro? Are you still injured? And Trevor, although he threw for 3 interceptions, this guy threw for 330 yards and 3 touchdown passes as a rookie in his first NFL game. Come on, people. Now support the guy. And as I always end my call, you know, with something positive. At least we're not the ones down there at TIAA Bank losing 31-3. You guys have a great one. I'll talk to you next week.
Mimi, right. Certainly
thank
appreciate
you, Mimi.
It.
Appreciate it.
And I think that is a good point that the veterans, you know, Juwan Taylors, the Brandon Lenders, were the ones making these penalties today.
Yeah, that was disappointing. And the one thing that I thought coming into this season, especially offensively, although the offensive line is now an upper echelon offensive line, I thought because the group has been together for so long, I thought that the front five would show out. I thought because if you're offensive lineman, you got to look at yourself as a playmaker, whether it come in the run game or in the pass game, and we just didn't make enough plays offensively up front to help us win. And here's the thing with Trevor Lawrence. You know, he did throw for 300-some yards. He had 51 attempts. Trevor has got to understand this, all right? When he was at Clemson, his wide receivers 9 times out of 10 were better than the DBs. Mm-hmm. So there was always going to be separation when it came to the wide receivers at Clemson because they were better than the guys they went. At the NFL level, it's going to all be equal. So a lot of the times, Trevor is having to wait for those receivers to create separation that he didn't have to do when he was at Clemson. And that you saw some of the errant throws, you saw some of the underthrows, you saw some of the hesitation in his throwing game because he's having to wait for these receivers to create separation. And that's the reason why he's having to press for so long.
To Jacksonville Beach we go here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Let's bring up John. John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on. It's good to be with you. Man, where do we start? Hey, Big Sur, last time we were together was at Stogie Fest over to Romans. We had a smoke, and we were talking about the new era, how good it was going to be and how energetic we are. And, man, just didn't turn out that way today. And I just I just couldn't figure out how it went so wrong. What's your thoughts on, I mean, this is, if I had my worst-case scenario, this would be times 10.
Well,
and John, appreciate the phone call, yeah. and that's something I wanted to bring up, and we'll do more of this as we go a long way on. Mm-hmm. Is it a buzzkill? Is it, the anticipation of this game, the excitement surrounding this game, the urban era, Trevor's first game, and then you go out there and that happens against a team regarded to be the worst in the league in the Houston Texans with Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. I mean, what should a Jaguar fan that's listening to the fifth quarter right now on 1010XL be thinking?
Well, listen, Hack. I mean, listen, it's our job to overreact around the radio, right?
Overreact?
We all. It's our job to overreact.
Get right out of town.
It's week one, all right? It's week one. And, John, I do remember you at Stogie Fest, and the Jaguars made me a liar because I just knew this was going to be a new era. We were going to turn things around. But it is week one. I don't want to overreact to the poor performance of the Jaguars, but it was poor. It was lackadaisical. It was uninspired. And a lot of the fans thought just because we hired Urban Meyer and we got Trevor Lawrence, but somehow, you know, that we was going to wave a magic wand and all of a sudden this roster was going to be better. A lot hasn't changed on this roster. Not much offensively, a little components here defensively, but these are just guys. These are just guys right now. So, but I was under the impression that somehow Urban Meyer, with his pedigree and his coaching experience, was somehow we'll be able to galvanize the troops, get these guys motivated to play above their heads. And I fell for it. And I saw the same type of Jaguar team that I saw last year, and that's disappointing to me.
It's as we've talked about the entire offseason. You cannot correct 15 years of ineptitude in 8 months. Other than 2017, this Jaguar team has been horrific. For 90% of those years dating back to 2007. They had the 1 year in 2017. Aside from that, it's been a terrible organization when it comes to wins and losses. You put Urban Meyer in, well, he's going to try to do what he can do in 8 months, but you can't sprinkle magic pixie dust. It's going to take some time, you know? And the reason Trevor Lawrence is here, and we're all very excited that he's here, is because the Jaguars were the worst team in the league last year. And you do what you can, but again, the free agents they're signing. You know, you signed Roy Robertson Harris. You signed Jahad Ward. That's awesome. Here, those guys are big-time players. Jahad Ward couldn't crack the starting lineup in Baltimore. Roy Robertson Harris battled injury problems, didn't start a whole lot of games in Chicago. I mean, there's a reason those guys wanted to leave where they were because they got better money and more playing time here in Jacksonville.
Heck, if you really think about the free agents that we signed in Jacksonville, we got free agents that other teams really didn't want. Because if they wanted them, they would have signed them. You know, so I'm saying we got a bunch of guys, well, I mean that with quotations, guys, that, you know, in Jacksonville makes our roster better, but that's not saying much. I mean, that's really not saying much. When you go and get free agents that other teams didn't want and you sign them a huge deal, you think that they come in here and somehow it's going to automatically make us better. But it was kind of the same old Jaguar team that we saw last year, which is very unfortunate.
It is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we are presented by Jacksonville's area, Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic, and we are broadcasting live from Perfect Rack Billiards over on Edgewood Avenue, 1186 Edgewood Avenue South. All the 4 o'clock games are going. People are having a great time despite the Jaguar losses. I don't think you're going to find a better place in Jacksonville than to come here and watch the not only the NFL package, the Jaguar games as well. This place was rocking earlier today. before the Texans went up by 27 later on in the ball game. But again, Corey and the fellas over here doing absolutely terrific job. They got nightly specials. We'll tell you all about them. And again, thank you to Perfect Rack Billiards for having us out after every 1 o'clock game this season on the fifth quarter. More of your phone calls and offensive player of the game. We have plenty more to do with you till 8:30 tonight with Leon Searcy. It's the Hacker Ryan Green on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter, live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic on 1010XL.
Play fake, dropping is Trevor, stepping up, fires deep downfield, got a man out there, that ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. DJ Chark, a Chark attack, and Jacksonville is in the end zone.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars radio. That was one of three Trevor Lawrence touchdown passes. That one 41 yards to DJ Chark. That made it 34-14. But, of course, the game would never get much closer than that. A 16-point Houston Texan victory, 37-21 today. Houston goes to 1-0. Jacksonville falls to 0-1. Leon, every week here on the fifth quarter, we will give you a Red Zone Money Pages offensive player of the game. And it's pretty much not a surprise who this week's Red Zone Money Pages offensive player of the game is going to be.
Now, the Money Pages Red Zone Play of the Game. Money Pages, Jacksonville's trusted leader, helping businesses grow for 20 years.
All right, Money Pages Red Zone brings it to you. And Trevor Lawrence, 332 yards, three touchdowns. You did have the three picks. Leon, let me ask you, when you look at his final stat line, you see 332 through the air.
Mm-hmm.
You see three touchdowns, but you see three picks. Are you intrigued? Are you worried? Where are you with Trevor after week one?
I'm not worried. I mean, you know, I'm not pressing the red button right now. I'm not worried about that. He did some nice things. I mean, listen, his first touchdown that he threw, I mean, the seam route right to Manhurst was an outstanding play. His second touchdown that he threw to Chark, if you watched his eyes, he pulled the safety away from Chark with his eyes, and then he threw an absolute dime to Chark, you know, right out of reach hands of the DB for a touchdown. And then, you know, the last touchdown was, you know, I want to say it was a garbage time touchdown, but it was still a touchdown. I mean, so I'm not worried about Trevor Lawrence. I think he's gonna grow and progress week after week. He's gonna get better and better. Listen, the best thing that can happen to Trevor Lawrence is when he goes in the film room, and it's gonna be teacher moments where he could have made a lot of errant throws. He made a lot of overthrows, underthrows, a lot of good throws that he made. So I mean, listen, he is the first pick overall, but he's gonna grow each and every week. So I like the yards. I like the touchdowns. I could do without the interception. So. You know, it'll be a learning experience for Trevor moving forward.
I got some concerns, and I got one thing that kind of bothers me. We'll get into that in just a moment. Back to the phone lines we go. 641-1010. The fifth quarter is for you. Your thoughts, your perspective on the Jaguars' loss today in Houston. Let's go out to Callahan. Let's get Mike in here on 1010XL. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I don't even know where to start. I guess my main thing is when Leon was saying how we have just guys right now, and it seems like that's all we've had for the last 15 years. How do we get above that where we can get, you know, some dogs on the offensive line, some guys that can go in there and do their job and, you know, not have holding penalty after holding penalty? And I think there was one moment and during the game where both Juwan Taylor and Cam Robinson had holding penalties on the same play. I don't understand why we can't elevate above that. Is it our scouting department? Is it, you know, can we find other guys out there that can come in and do a better job? And I don't understand why Walker Little was inactive. And I'll take your comments off the air. Really appreciate it, guys.
Mike, appreciate the phone call. To be fair to Cam, he got called for basically two illegal formations, which I want you to get into that. Why would he be that far off the ball? Juwan Taylor did get called for two holds.
Well, Mike, when I say we just have guys, I say that because this team seems to be unmotivated. They don't seem to want to play above their grade. When I say they're just guys, listen, you don't just be a guy and play in the NFL. What I'm saying is that if you look at our roster comparable to other teams around the league, you know, we're pretty subpar. But that doesn't mean that we have to play that way. These guys have got to be self-motivated to play above their grade, and that's the most disappointing thing about it. And the coaching staff can only do so much. When those guys get on the field, they got to be hungry to want to play the game. They got to be able. They got to play above their means or play above what people think about them. That's the most troubling thing about me, because I've been on teams, especially a particular team in 1996, where we so-called just had guys. But we played above our grade, and that's the reason why we had so much success at that year in 1996.
Two illegal formations, 12 men in the huddle, four holdings. Is that coaching?
No.
Is that lack of focus? Particularly the 12 men in the huddle. This is the National Football League.
Yeah.
You should never have 12 men in the offensive huddle.
No, that's just bad. That's just bad right there. You never. That's not supposed to happen.
Who do you put that on?
That's got to be personnel. Whoever's in charge of personnel grouping
did a terrible job.
Yeah, whoever's in charge of personnel grouping, there's no reason why you should have 12 guys in the field. So whoever the coaching staff is that's in charge of personnel grouping, he screwed it up most definitely. When it comes to Cam Robinson, what Cam is trying to do is, and I was a stickler on this too, when you're an offensive lineman and you're on the road, especially when you're in pass protection, you're trying to cheat back a little bit because you got to keep your head on the center when you're in pass protection. So Cam was trying to cheat back a little bit because he had a speed rusher on him, but he was cheating back too far to the point where he was in the backfield, and they're going to make that call every time.
Yeah, it was not good. The penalties, four holding penalties, two against Juwan Taylor. And look, you and I, Joe, Matt on XL Primetime, we talked about this. Cam Robinson. Juwan Taylor had another bad day today. I mean, a couple of holding penalties, it's not good right now. And I actually thought Cam was decent. Now, the Texans only got credit for one sack. They also put some hits on Trevor, which is going to happen. But they kept him relatively clean. You only allow one sack. I think that's a decent day at the office for the O-line. But it's the penalties that drive you crazy.
Yeah, it's the penalties. And, you know, I'm not a big stickler on sacks. There was a couple of pressures in there. There was a couple of times where, you know, Cam Robinson or Juwan Taylor was in the face of the quarterback. I think Trevor Lawrence did a good job being able to maneuver himself in the pocket where he could step up and make the throws. But did the Jaguar offensive line keep him clean for the most part? Yeah, they did. Yeah, did. But, I mean, if Trevor's having to throw 50-some-odd tackles, if you're not establishing the run, then that's on the offensive line, because – if you establish the run game and you're a little bit more balanced, then it takes the pressure off you to have to keep those guys off the edge.
641-1010 is the phone number. Let's head to the south side, I believe, next here on 1010XL. Get Jameson up. Jameson, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Not the result we all wanted today, but it could have been one more Jags fans expected. I don't want to talk too much about Trevor because I thought he did as good as he probably could have did in his first start with a coach in his first NFL game with a team who lost 15 straight games. And it's not going to turn around overnight. So I think this team definitely needs to work on not having penalties, because all in all that happened today with few interceptions, I thought there was some decent defense today, except for like kind of towards the end of the first half. But the penalties, man. I played football in high school and middle school, and I remember when there was penalties or anything like that during the week, we were doing up-downs that next week, and everybody on the team, you know, we held each other accountable. And I just don't know if these guys, you know, on the offensive line are being held accountable. I think the whole team needs to be kind of punished for that, because the penalties are hurting the entire team.
I appreciate the phone call, my friend. Thank you. Got to move on here. The one thing that he said, Leon, that I have a little bit of a disagreement with is it doesn't turn around overnight, or it's not going to all come together quickly. Well, you weren't playing the Kansas City Chiefs today. All right? You weren't playing the Pittsburgh Steelers today or the Buffalo Bills. You were playing a Houston Texan team that had 33 new players of their 53-man roster. They had to Band-aid and bandage and put medicine here and medicine there on that entire roster this offseason. They came together in the same amount of time that the Jaguars did and gave the Jaguars the beating today on opening day. that is a cause for concern. If this happens against Kansas City, or if this happens against Green Bay, whomever, well, okay, you can almost understand that. The fact that Houston, with all those new players, did this to you, that to me is a little bit concerning.
That's coaching, Hack. That's coaching. I said this earlier. If you have relatively the same roster, the same team with the same troubles, a depleted roster on both sides of the ball, and one team comes out and they play inspired and they get after it and they take it to you, and the other team, you know, takes their lumps, takes their bumps in the road and doesn't get going, that's coaching, bro. That's getting your team ready. That's getting your team inspired to play football. And you could just tell from the jump start that the Jaguars just weren't into it early on to the game.
Let's head to Mayport. Xavier up here on 1010XL on the fifth quarter. Xavier, go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, Hack and Leon? Good to hear from you guys. I know it's been a minute. I just wanted to talk about I noticed that, you know, the last preseason game, Trevor Lawrence was in. They ran a lot of shotgun and bootlegs because, bad offensive line play. Well, I noticed today, you know, Juwan Taylor getting beat often on the right side, and Trevor was just under a lot of pressure. So I was just wondering, why did they go away from the shotgun formations and the bootleg? And also, I just want to know, Leon, when are you going to come out of retirement and head back to the offensive line to protect Trevor Lawrence's blind side? I'll take my comments out there.
Xavier, appreciate it. Big Surge, they could probably use you,
never,
my friend.
Never. I'm never coming back.
You're good?
Listen, the best I can give you right now is extra point field goal.
you're good for at least one of those.
Exactly.
Right?
That's all I can give you.
Right, Urban Meyer stated publicly that they're not going to really call any design quarterback runs. Right? You don't really want to do that in the NFL. And not that I think Trevor won't do that ever. But I did think there were times today, there was times where he could have taken off and made something happen. And I don't know if it's been coached into him not to do that. I don't know if it's been coached into him to throw the ball at all costs and don't take the big shots or big hits. But that's part of Trevor's game, man. He ran an 87-yard touchdown in the national title game against Ohio State a few years ago. The guy can run. Let him run. Trust that he'll be smart enough to get down or get out of bounds. If they take that aspect of his game away, to me, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, because you're stifling him. When he was at Clemson, he ran some zone read, all right? He ran some zone read, zone read with the running back and then, dump the ball off. I mean, you've got to incorporate some of the stuff that he's comfortable with. If he's had success with that in college at Clemson, I don't understand why, if you're a coordinator, you don't incorporate some of that into the offense. Not a mass majority of it, but sprinkles of it every now and then, just to keep the defense honest. I mean, is Trevor Lawrence a pocket passer? He is, but he runs a 4.5. He's got some wheels, and if you can stress the defense with the running game, with him taking the ball, rolling out or running, I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Let's go to Callahan. Let's get John in here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. John, what do you got?
Well, Hacker, Leon, I appreciate y'all accepting my call. I have one question, though. I saw more in the first half, more people coming in and off the field than I did the second half. You know, people coming in and taking over the job. And, you know, I just didn't understand that. It looked more like a college game as far as substitutions are concerned. And another thing, James Robinson seemed to take one step forward and two steps back like he was dancing with the offensive line. So I'll leave you with that.
John, appreciate it. Well, I would have liked to see James Robinson get the ball in his hands a little more. I mean, 5 carries for 25 yards for a guy that was a 1,000-yard rusher as an undrafted free agent a year ago, that to me is ludicrous. Again, you were averaging almost 5 yards a carry between he and Carlos Hyde. The game was still, it was a 20-7 or a 17-7 game pretty late into the second quarter. Yeah. Why are you not trying to establish more of a running game? Because you were able to run the ball. They just did it, Leon, very, very few and far between.
We panicked. We panicked when we got down 17-7. There was no reason to abandon the run game. All you have to do is keep establishing the run game, use the play action, take your shots down the field. But you can't have James Robinson, who rushed for 1,000 yards, on the sideline, not incorporated in offense, and not giving him the ball enough. I mean, you can get rusty. If you know that you're not incorporating the offense, you got to get his juices flowing. Give him some touches, some flare routes, some dump off passes, some checkdowns to get him out on the field, open space against linebackers and safeties. You know, get him incorporated in the game. He has too much talent he was underutilized today, and we abandoned the run game when we got down. And you can't do that. You can't panic like that. You gotta stick to the game plan. And methodically move down the field and get some points.
Dominic, Howard, Harry, all you guys hang in there. You'll be up on the other side as it is the fifth quarter, the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we are presented by Jacksonville's Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic, and we are live. Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, 1186 Edgewood Avenue. Let me tell you what they got going on out here at Perfect Rack Billiards. Their main special on Sundays is their wings and a pitcher special. 10 wings and a domestic pitcher for just $18. Think about that. 10 wings and a pitcher, just $18. They also have $4 wells. That is a terrific, terrific deal. Nightly specials as well here at Perfect Rack Billiards. And we're going to be here every Sunday following 1 o'clock Jaguar games. It is the fifth quarter's home. Perfect Rack Billiards here in 2021. Over in the Murray Hill area. More of your phone calls. We'll give out a defensive player of the game. Leon, that might be tough. We're going to have to put our heads together for that one. The defensive player of the game. All that and more coming up next. Glad you're with us. It is the fifth quarter, and you are listening to 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Putting an extra 60 minutes on the clock. The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Presented by Flamingo Septic and Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers on 1010XL.
Dropping the throw. Fires toward the back of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. With 5 seconds to play, he threw a touchdown pass to Marvin Jones Jr.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio. That was the third and final touchdown pass for Trevor Lawrence. And again, it's a stat builder, but I think it's a confidence builder. Look, today was a bad day out in Houston. They got embarrassed at parts of that game. But for the offense to go out there to put points on the board, your rookie quarterback goes out there and runs a two-minute offense to perfection. Yeah, I'm sure it was a prevent defense, blah, 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 blah. It's Lawrence's first game. The fact that he was able to move the team down and put points on the board at the end, Leon, it's certainly not a negative. I don't know how much of a positive it is, but there's certainly nothing bad about that.
No, I mean, it was garbage time, but that's such a negative connotation to say, because you're dealing with a rookie quarterback in his first game in the NFL, and these are teaching moments. These are moments where it was a two-minute offense. He went down the field, and yes, they were playing relatively prevent defense. He was throwing a lot of underneath stuff to the point where he got to the goal line, near the goal line, where he threw a touchdown with 5 seconds left to go in the game. And listen, when you're watching film with your offensive coordinator, he's not going to look at that as garbage time. He's going to look at the fact that you led the team down for another score towards the end of the game. And that's something you can build on. You can build on for the next week. Next week when you go up against Denver and you're at home, that'll be a positive that you can relate to the fact that you drove the team down and had a score towards the end.
Every week this season during the fifth quarter, we're going to give you a defensive player of the game. It is brought to you by our friends at Superior Fence and Rail. Michael, let's do it right now. The Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game.
Jacksonville's building a fence along the goal line. This is the Superior Fence and Rail Defensive Player of the Game. Superior Fence and Rail, where quality matters.
All right. Some weeks are going to be harder than others, and let's be honest, the defense did not have a great showing today. But Miles Jack, 9 total tackles, 6 solos, 1 tackle for loss. Honorable mention certainly to Josh Allen, who did get a sack today. But I thought Miles Jack was all over the field. I'll tell you the one thing that bothers me, though. And you tell me if I'm being the media curmudgeon here or if it bothers you.
No, not you. Come
on. Being
the
11-year NFL vet. When you're down 20, I don't know if you need to be flexing when you tackle guys. Or when you're down 34-7 and you tackle the running back for a 2-yard loss, maybe just go back to the huddle. I don't know if you need to be flexing on a guy that's beating you by 27 points. Or am I being too much of a stickler there?
No, you're right. You have a right to be agitated. It agitated me. Because when you're down by that much and you make a tackle, which, by the way, wasn't for a loss.
And it's not just Miles Jack. There were a lot of different guys. Well,
it wasn't a tackle for the law or a loss. It wasn't a tackle where he made it in the backfield. I mean, it was a 2-3 yard gain when he made the tackle along the side. I know exactly what he stood over the guy and flexed the muscles and stuff like that. That's just me being a fossil, old school a little bit. Yeah, he should have just took us behind in the huddle and said, okay, this is a wrap. Good tackle. Keep it moving.
641-1010 is the phone number if you want to get involved. 641-1010. Michael, I believe we're going to Mandarin, right, to my neck of the woods. Let's get Howard up here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Howard, go ahead.
Ryan and Leon, as a hardcore Jaguar fan, I think for me, last year, you know, I think that most of us probably turned the TV off about 90% of the time last year at halftime. So I think this year for me, improvement is what I'm looking for. And I want to be watching the game in the balance in the fourth quarter, whether we're down 3 or up 7. I want to be glued to the TV even if we lose, because what that means to me is progress. And it concerns me a little bit today. That's not what we saw. The other thing is, I want to get your comments. I think Adam Archuleta on the call today made a couple of points about this. He made some points that he felt like our defense was a step or two slower than Houston's. And I kind of agreed with him. I thought we look a bit slow on defense. And, you know, you hear that a lot when you're watching college football about some of these elite athletes. But I felt like today we really did look like we were a couple steps behind Houston. I didn't see a lot of speed on the defense. And Urban talked about that a lot this offseason.
Howard, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Archuleta did say, I believe he's right, I think twice, that the defense just looked a step slow behind Houston. Houston just seemed faster than the Jaguar defense, and particularly on a couple of plays where you had bunch formations on third and shorts, and basically Amendola ran a down and out, and there wasn't a Jaguar within 5 yards of him. And he caught the ball, turned up field for 8 yards and a first down. And you call them pick plays, call them whatever you want. The bottom line is, and one was actually a touchdown where Miles Jack didn't get over there in time. I think that was one to David Johnson, if memory serves. But the Jaguars seemingly couldn't stop that play that the Texans ran about 5 or 6 different times.
Yeah, there seemed to be a little bit of miscommunication defensively, especially, you know, with the back seven as far as those bunch formations go. And see, that's the reason why in the preseason you're so vanilla. I'm not even sure if the Houston Texans showed those kind of looks in the preseason. So it might have been something that Jaguars hadn't seen. Doesn't mean they shouldn't have been out there and be able to execute it. But, I mean, yeah, we did seem a little confused and did seem a little step slow. But a lot of it has to do with just sheer desire. I mean, if you watch the Texans on the defensive side of the ball and look at them the offensive side of the ball, we just seemed to be a one step slow on everything when it came to run blocking and pass protection.
Let's head to the north side. Get Dominic up here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Dominic, what's going on?
What's going on, Hack, man? Hey, what's going on, Unc, man? You know, I'm kind of agitated right now with the game, Unc. You said it all week on XL Primetime, and then you specifically tried to pound it in our heads Thursday and Friday that you cannot throw the ball as many times as we did and win a game. Where's the run game? On top of that, why is the coaching staff thinking Andre or Andrew Wingert can actually start in this league anymore? Like, it's so annoying. Like, it's so annoying to the fact that, like, how come I can sit at home and feel like I have common sense watching the game, and then when you go into the game, you see they have no execution, no instincts. I agree with you, Hack. Like, what's going on with Trevor? Did they specifically tell him not to run? Like, I got the same questions I had for Aaron Rodgers when he didn't run in the championship game. Like, what's going on? Run. You got legs. Move. And then all of the penalties. Oh, my God. It's just talk to me, Hack. What's going on, man?
Appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you very much for listening. The Wingard thing, yeah, it was not a good game for Andrew Wingard. Yeah. That's about the nicest thing I can say.
You're right. Listen, he
Everything else will be R-rated, so I don't want to do that.
Listen. He made a business decision. Now, I remember specifically when Ingram had the ball, and it was him and Winger in the hole.
Yeah.
And Winger, instead of going up there, and you're a strong safety. All right, you're supposed to lay the wood to it. If you're one-on-one with a linebacker, you're supposed to – he whipped, bro. He completely whipped on Ingram, went towards his legs. He stepped over and ran for another 5 to 8 yards. You can't have that.
You can't have your rookie quarterback throw the ball 51 times either. Now, again, obviously the defense wasn't stopping a lot of the Texans' offense today. So the game kind of warranted that you had to come from behind, and I certainly understand that. But again, it's 20-7 late in the first half, and you just are abandoning the run when you're averaging darn near 5 yards a carry with Carlos Hyde, with James Robinson. It is simply unacceptable. It's unacceptable for Urban Meyer and for Daryl Bevel and for this Jaguar offense to only give James Robinson 5 carries. The guy was a 1,000-yard rusher for you last year. He had over 1,350 yards from scrimmage last year. And on opening day, when he's your main guy, now that Travis Etienne is out for the year, you give him the ball 5 times out of the backfield? That, Leon, that's inexcusable.
Well, here it is, Hack. And this is an indictment on the defense. When we were down 20-7, we're technically still in the game. There's no need to abandon the run. But did you see how Tyrod Taylor was maneuvering around our defense? We couldn't stop Ingram. We couldn't stop Taylor. So I guess the Jaguars saying that the only thing that we could possibly do is we got to get into a shootout with this team because defensively we can't stop anybody. But that's still not a reason. You got to stick to your game plan. You got to run the ball. You got to keep them honest because Trevor Lawrence. Listen, when you have 10 penalties and you have 3 turnovers and you can't run the ball and you're throwing the ball over 50 times, you're not going to win a lot of football games like that. You're not going to win a football game.
Let's go to the south side here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Let's get Shelton up here on the fifth quarter. Shelton, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing well.
My thing is we know from watching football over and over and over again, the best thing for a rookie quarterback is you run the game with a defense. I mean, our defense carried Blake Bortles to the AFC Championship game in 2017. And without a defense and without a run game, any rookie quarterback going to struggle. So I don't know what's going on with Joe Cullen and why we got so many substitutions and players running around, can't get lined up, receivers running wide open. Just line them up and let them play, and maybe we can stop somebody. But if we don't get a hold on defense, it's going to be a long season, guys.
Sheldon, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, look, the defense was not good today. And again, that's Tyrod Taylor you're talking about. You see what Kyler Murray did to Tennessee? Well, he's coming in here in 2 weeks. You get Teddy Bridgewater coming in here next week. They are bludgeoning the New York Giants. So I think that game actually just went final. You're not that far away from Joe Burrow, who just put 27 on the board against Minnesota in overtime win. I hate to say it, Tyrod Taylor is one of the worst quarterbacks you're going to see this year to guard against for the Jaguar defense. And he looked very, very good at times today. It was a very disappointing performance on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, heck, we can't get home on a corner blitz. We had a corner blitz on Tyrod Taylor. He goes up high. He ducks underneath. He rolls out, and he throws a bomb to Cook. Yeah. I mean, you can't have that kind of stuff. You can't have those kind of miscues defensively if you're going to win football games. The pass rush is just it's invisible. It's obsolete. We can't get any kind of pass rush from the up in the middle. Can't push the pocket. We can't get any guys around the edge. Tyrod Taylor back there sometimes, he had 5, 6, 7 seconds holding on to the ball before we even have somebody sniffing him. It was just crazy.
You got to get off the field on third down. I mean, for starters, the Texans had the ball for 10 more minutes than the Jaguars today, in large part because they were 12 of 21 on third down. So they converted 12 third down opportunities. It's not good enough, particularly when the Jaguars went 3 of 11. On their third down opportunities. Yeah, it wasn't good all the way around, and it wasn't just the quarterback. It wasn't just the offense. It wasn't just the defense. Heck, it wasn't just the special teams. Got to throw them in there because the Lambos miss. It was everybody. Everybody got outplayed today. I think clearly got outcoached today. And kudos to Houston. Look, they heard for an entire offseason how terrible they're going to be. They heard for an entire offseason that they're going to be the worst team in the league. And they come out on opening day, and they really take it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's head out to the beaches here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Let's get Daniel in. Daniel, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got a 6-year-old boy. You know, he's got a memory now. And I've been telling him about Jaguars, you know, since he was 4. But today he looked at me, he's like, oh, the Jaguars suck. So here I am trying to teach my son to root for the home team, but I'm teaching him to root for a loser. And you know what I'm saying? I got my young nephews. I'm trying to convert them from Steelers fans. And it's just I got to look at the stand on, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, as a father, like teaching my son to root for a loser, am I on a sinking ship, or am I just, you know, bumping my gums for no reason? Like, it's just a hard thing to build a new future fan base, and the kids aren't having it, man. They don't want to see this, and they don't want to see losers. For my six-year-old to say that, it's just, I'm teaching my son to root for a loser, man. It's a hard thing to say. That's all.
Well, and Daniel, we appreciate the call. My son's not six yet. He's 2.5, but he's starting to figure it out a little bit. I probably got another year or two. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that I've thought about as well. I mean, other than that 2017 run, which seems like a decade ago now, if you're 18 years old in the city of Jacksonville, you never knew a division championship. Leon, you played in the AFC title game January 23rd, 2000. Well, that's over 21 years ago now, almost 22 years ago now, and the Jaguars have had one home playoff game in the last 22 years, and it was that win over Buffalo in 2017. So, yeah, if you're a young kid in Northeast Florida, you don't know a lot of stuff except the Jaguars are losing games on Sundays. I think that's going to change. I'm not ready to sound the alarm whistle after 1 week, but I understand the frustration because there was a lot of excitement rolling into this game, Leon. No. And not just to lose, but to lose in the fashion the Jaguars did today. Yeah, I don't blame the fans for being upset.
Yeah, I'm an old Jag. I ain't no new Jag. I'm just being, I am. I mean, I don't recognize the kind of play that I've been watching over the last decade and a half from this organization and from these players. But it is frustrating. Listen, it's frustrating for me. I mean, I joke about it, but I'm an alumnus. I'm a Jaguar. You know, I came here in free agency in 1996, and, you know, we had some magical runs while we was here. And you think that the organization or the team is just going to carry on from where we left off. And it's been nothing like that over the last, you know, 15, 20-some-odd years. And it's frustrating. It's not even frustrating for the fans. It's frustrating for guys who started here early. You know, I talked to the Wydells and the Manglers and all that kind of stuff. And we get frustrated when the Jaguars lose. We were texting each other while the game was going on now, frustrated by the play call, frustrated by the protection, frustrated by the fact that we're not running the ball, frustrated by the fact that we don't have a pass rush, can't stop the run. All those things where we're actually texting each other while the game is going on. So it's not only frustrating for the fan base, but it's frustrating for me, you know, once this proud organization that I came a part of in 1996 and we put the Jaguars on the map, and now it's pretty, you know, it's alarming to see that Jaguars are the bottom feeders of the NFL now.
There's no question about it. Other than the Cleveland Browns, the Jaguars have the worst win-loss record in the NFL in the last decade, and it's not even close. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker, Ryan Green. Jacksonville 0-1 today after a 37-21 loss to the Houston Texans. Phone lines wide open. We're at halftime of the fifth quarter, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go, taking you up till roughly 8:30 tonight. The late games in the NFL window have gone final. Kansas City comes from behind in the second half. They knock off Cleveland 33-29. Those are two good football teams. They likely will see each other again come the postseason. The Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. Wait, is this right? Did the Dolphins get a 17-16 win?
Yes.
Wow, how about Miami with a 17-16 win over New England? The Saints just absolutely annihilate the Green Bay Packers here in Jacksonville, 38-3. New Orleans over Green Bay, and the Denver Broncos, who will be in Jacksonville next week. They go to New York, and they start 1-0, a 27-13 win today over the Giants, although it was a costly win. Reports out of that game that Jerry Jeudy, the star wide receiver for the Broncos, went down with thought to be a pretty significant injury. We'll have to see what happens as the week goes by. But again, Denver in Jacksonville next Sunday to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we are presented by Jacksonville's area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic. And as always, we're live this year after the 1 o'clock games from Perfect Rack Billiards. Murray Hill is our location over on Edgewood Avenue. Come on out. It is a terrific place to watch the Jaguars. It is a terrific place to watch all the NFL action. They got a Sunday special, 10 wings and a pitcher of beer, a domestic pitcher, for just $18. Also $4 wells. It is your NFL viewing place and the home for the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Of course, Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. More of your phone calls next. 641-1010. The fifth quarter rolls on here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Bringing you an extra quarter of football.
The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic on 1010XL.
Scrambles to his left. Hit. Stays on his field. Fires, and that ball is going to be picked off. He threw it too high. It is picked off and being run back by the Texans. Justin Reed made the interception. He had a man. Trevor airmailed that one, and Reed picked it off and ran it back. Big error that time by the rookie.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars radio. That was one of three Trevor Lawrence interceptions. Leon, we're going to get to the special teams player of the game in a moment. Before we do, the three picks today for Trevor Lawrence. Big mistakes, correctable mistakes. What did you see out of those?
Yeah, correctable mistakes. I mean, I'm sure Bevel tomorrow when they go and watch film, he's going to assess where he could have thrown the ball. He's going to point out to him where other guys may have been open. You know what I'm saying? He's going to point to him and say, hey, listen, you know, you don't always have to take this route. This guy was here. This guy was there, whatever. And listen, there's not too many guys. He's a rookie. There's not too many guys that come into the league day one and light up the NFL. That's the reason why it's called the Big Boy League. All right, I don't care how much admiration, how much success that you've had at the collegiate level. When you come to the NFL, it will humble you real quick and real fast. All right, I went through it my first year. My first year coming to the NFL, you get humbled. And Trevor Lawrence, I mean, although he did have a lot of passing yards in this game, and he threw the ball 50-some-odd times, the three picks are correctable, and I'm sure tomorrow when he's sitting in the offensive coordinator's meeting room, they're going to assess where the ball should have gone instead of the throws that he made.
Well, let's not forget, go back 23 years, Peyton Manning's rookie year in Indianapolis. What do you have, 28 picks?
He did.
28 picks for Peyton Manning his rookie year, and you could argue he is one of the top five quarterbacks that have ever lived. So it happens to rookie quarterbacks in the NFL until they get adjusted and figure out what they can and cannot do.
And you know what's going to happen, Hack, and it happens to all the great ones, and you can talk to them. They go through these growing pains, and at some particular point, I don't know when in the season might happen, this season might happen, next year, the game is going to actually slow down to Trevor. I mean, everything right now, I'm not in that huddle. I'm not in that shotgun with Trevor. I mean, the bullets are flying everywhere. He's seeing bullets that he didn't even see at Clemson. And this is a Houston, Texas team. We're not even talking one of the top teams in the league. This is the Houston, Texas, and he had the bullets flying. And then at some particular point in the season, he's going to get it. The game's going to slow down, and he's going to make the correct throws that he didn't make today.
Every week here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL, we do give you a special teams player of the game. It is brought to you by the McKeever Clinic. So let's do it right now. The McKeever Clinic special teams player of the game.
Now, the special teams player of the game.
We be special.
Brought to you by the urological specialists of McKeever Clinic.
Logan Cook, take a bow. Six punts today, a long of 58. Pinned the Texans once inside the 20-yard line. Not that I have anything against Logan Cook, but I would like maybe Jamal Agnew to win this award a couple of times, Josh Lambeau to win this award a couple of times. We had a lot of Logan Cook awards last year winning this for the special teams player of the game. Unfortunately, Leon, that's how we start 2021 as well. But as much as you don't want to talk about the punter being good, the punter was pretty good today for the Jaguars.
Yeah, you know what? We may be laughing a little inside because we give it to them every week. But it's going to come a particular game where field position is going to be important, and we're going to need Logan Cook. So, I mean, right now he's in midseason form. You know, he's punting the ball real well, and we might be in a particular game where we need to pin a team inside the 10, you know, inside the 5. So, I mean, we may be laughing a little bit inside giving it to Logan Cook, but you never know. We may need him a little bit more than we think.
Former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo, will be joining us here on the fifth quarter in about 15 minutes. Before we get there, back to your phone calls at 641-1010, live from Perfect Rack Billiards out in Murray Hill. Let's go to Gary on the south side here on 1010XL. Gary, go ahead.
Hacker, Leon, how about those Dolphins?
That's a big win. Yeah. That's a big win. I drafted two in my fantasy league, and he was pretty good today.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, How about holding the Urban feet to the fire? Shad's paying him, what, $9-10 million a year? You couldn't tell, Hacker, whether that's a Doug Marrone coach team or or Gus Bradley team, or it looked like the same old with Urban Meyer. Where's the fire? I watch all these highlights about this team. All these other teams play with passion, with fire, and it looks like the Jaguars are just going through the motions. How about holding Urban accountable? How about that? Yeah, he should be chewing nails. He should have been chewing nails in this press conference today.
Gary, appreciate the phone call. To that point, Leon, we're talking so much about Trevor Lawrence's first game. It was Urban Meyer's first game, and I'll go back to what you and I talked about in the first hour. 12 men in the huddle, 3 illegal formations, 4 holding penalties, the defense looking a step slow, even Adam Archuleta on the broadcast mentioning that. I mean, some of that, maybe not all, but some of that clearly has to be put on the coaching staff.
Yeah, it has to be. And that's what we thought hiring Urban Meyer would do to this team. I thought that having Urban Meyer here with his pedigree, with all the championship pedigree that he had at the collegiate level, somehow he was going to be able to inspire these guys to play above their grade. All right, you know, we've got middle-tier guys on this team, but I just thought somehow on both sides of the ball we were going to compete. We're going to be in games. We're going to be in games in the fourth quarter. And the call is right. This team doesn't look any different than a Doug Marrone coach team, to be quite honest with you. Methodical, uninspired, unmotivated, going through the motions. That kind of stuff, you got to hold Urban Meyer to this, because for that team to come out as dull as it was on both sides of the ball is just unacceptable for what the money that Shad has paid him and the coaching staff that he brought on board. That team should be playing a lot better than it's been playing. Than it played today.
Let's go out to Callahan here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Bring Lyndon in. Lyndon out in Callahan, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I tell you what, I've been offensive lineman, high school, college, and it just frustrated the fire out of me that they did not run the ball as much as they should have. We had some good running backs today, and they just went away from it. I know they did early, but I know Leon would understand that, you know, you need to stick with it. When you got guys running like they did, even with some of the penalties, it's just frustrating when they went away from it as early as they did. Trevor looked great. He made some great plays today. He made some great throws, but the offensive line could help him out tremendously.
Appreciate the phone call. Yeah. All right, Leon, we've talked a little bit about the tackles. Offensive line as a whole, you're one of the best offensive linemen to ever do it. How would you assess the O-line?
Okay. I mean, it's partly their fault, and it's partly the coordinator's fault, because, I mean, what is this team's identity? All right? What can you hold some weight to as far as what kind of team you're going to be? I mean, because right now this is a passive aggressive offensive line. All right, they pass. Any offensive lineman will tell you that in order to get your hands dirty, you got to run the football. You got to establish the ground game. You got to get after it, and then you assess the play action and you take your shots down the field. I mean, we're just all over the place. We give Roy Robinson what, 5 touches? You know, we're throwing the ball over 50 times. I mean, I just want to know, what's the identity of this offense? What are we going to be? Are we going to be tough up front? Are we going to be able to protect the passer? I mean, I don't know. And it's frustrating for me because I had the best of both worlds. When I was in Pittsburgh, we ran the ball. We got after it. I mean, our offensive coordinator would actually ask us, hey, offensive line, what are the 10 plays you want to run? And again, and out of those 10 plays, 8 of them were running because we knew we wanted to get our juices flowing. When I was here in Jacksonville, we had a dual combination. We had Mark Brunell, Jimmy, and Keenan, and then we had Fred Taylor in the back, so we can run and throw the ball. So I've been blessed to have to be able to run and pass the ball. I just want to know what this team's identity is, because I mean, we don't run the ball well, and then half the time we don't protect, you know, worth a damn.
Let's get Dez on the north side here on 1010XL. Dez, go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing today, man?
Good, man. What's happening?
I'm doing fine, man. Hey,
I like to say this, make this statement. Last year, it was the same thing. We beat the Colts, and we went 1-15. We lost 15 straight. This year, we opened up. I mean, the team that was most, that had the most hype, that really wanted to win, they won. I mean, Houston came out fired up. I mean, they was throwing, like, different big packages from a young quarterback. But Trevor's going to be all right. And I just hope that this was just the beginning. I knew we'd have a long season, but I think everything going to be good. But next year going to be a year for us, though, man. I'll figure everything out there.
Hey, Dez, appreciate the phone call. I don't disagree with that. And to that point,
I don't want to have to wait a year, Hack.
Well,
I want to see some remnants of greatness this year.
Yeah, but
give me a little bit.
I think realistically everybody thought 6 or 7 wins is a ceiling for this team. It's about development. I mean, I don't know one person that picked them to win 9 or 10 games.
No, I agree.
Not
okay.
one.
Okay, all right.
But to that point, it's about development of Trevor. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a play of the game. It is brought to you by our friends at Performance Painting. And, Michael, let's do it right now. The Performance Painting play of the game.
Now, the Performance Painting High Performance play of the game. Performance Painting. Quality coatings applied with pride.
Scored 3 touchdowns, one of which was Trevor Lawrence, 41 yards to DJ Chark. It was a great throw. Unfortunately, it was 34-7 at the time, so it didn't have a lot of bearing on the final outcome, but it was a laser. Down the field, beautiful throw, got it in over the safety. It was a great throw. And again, we're picking at straws here to try to find positives.
Mm-hmm.
That particular play, Leon, was a positive.
It was. It was an absolute dime. And if you watch Trevor Lawrence in the pocket, he held the safety with his eyes. The reason why the safety wasn't able to get over the top is because Trevor held him, and he threw a complete dime to DJ Chark. And DJ Chark did an outstanding job catching the ball for a touchdown.
641-1010 is the phone number. If you're on the phone lines, I promise we will get to you before we wrap things up. We're with you until 8:30 tonight. Coming up next, former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Our head coach on XL Primetime is Dave Campo. He's going to join us every week here on the fifth quarter. Let's talk to the former head coach about his thoughts on the Houston Texans' 37-21 victory today over the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Jacksonville's area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic. We're live here at Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. I'll tell you this. I just had some of the wings here at Perfect Rack Billiards.
Mm.
Tasty, man. They'll put some hair on your chest. Mm. They are what you need to get through an evening after losing to Houston by 16. Absolutely delicious. Cannot recommend this place enough. This is the fifth quarter's home. This year, after all the 1 o'clock Jaguar games, we will be live here at Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, 1186 Edgewood Avenue South. Dave Campo, next, here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, this is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Flamingo Septic and Jacksonville area Napa Auto Care Centers on 1010XL.
With Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you till 8:30 tonight. The Texans, a 37-21 winner today over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo, about 60 seconds away. Before we get there, as we do every week here on the fifth quarter, we like to give you a drive of the game. It is brought to you by Tire Outlet. Michael, let's do it right now. The Tire Outlet drive of the game.
Now, the Tire Outlet drive of the game. Tire Outlet, wholesale prices, premium service.
Leon, the Texans were up 14-0. The Jaguars got the ball at their own 25-yard line. 11 plays, 75 yards, a little over 5 minutes off the clock. Trevor Lawrence to Chris Manhertz. If you had Chris Manhertz as the guy catching Trevor Lawrence's first ever NFL touchdown pass, you are a winner tonight. But clearly it was a great response. It's 14-7. You're right in the game. And then, unfortunately, the Texans scored the next 20 points.
Yeah, well, that's the way you're supposed to respond, especially when you're 2 touchdowns down. You drive right down way. 11 plays, 75 yards?
11 plays, 75 yards.
Route to Manhurst for a touchdown. Trevor Lawrence, that'll be a nice little trivia question. who was Trevor Lawrence's first touchdown pass thrown to.
When he's getting inducted into Canton in 20 years?
I don't know about all that. I'm just saying that'll be a nice little trivia question.
Well, let's talk to the head coach, the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo. He's our head coach on XL Primetime, and you get him here every night of the fifth quarter during the 2021 season. Coach, how we doing?
Oh, not that good, guys, but it's always nice talking to you guys anyway.
Coach, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for being up a little late with us on a Sunday night. And, yeah, I mean, look, we thought the Jaguars had a very good chance to go out there and get a win today. And the next thing you know, it's 34-7 and the game's over. I mean, what were your takeaways from today's ball game?
Well, you know, I'm kind of in the same feelings that you guys have had from the standpoint that I'm not really disappointed in Trevor Lawrence because really of the three interceptions, only the one that he threw over the middle on the crossing route was really a bad one. The other one was on a scramble. And the other thing that he didn't see during the course of preseason was a lot of zone coverage. You know, our defense doesn't play in. So consequently, the cover two that the guy slumped back in and grabbed was a tough one. The thing that disappoints me is the team. I didn't think that it was almost like they had gotten the feeling that, hey, we got Trevor Lawrence and we got Urban Meyer, and we're going to get this done just because we're playing against a bad football team. Even I saw a clip of one of the players when Urban had the player sit at the front of the plane on the way there.
Yeah, Jahan Ward. Yeah, I saw that too.
You know, talking about, whatever we're doing the right thing. We're behind the coaches and all that. It was almost like, in front of the coaches. It was almost like they thought they were just going to go down there and sleepwalk through it, and they just had way, way too many mistakes.
Yeah, Coach, you know, that was troubling to me as well. I mean, you know, all the talk the offseason about, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer and coming here, you know, with the pedigree that Urban Meyer had winning today, I kind of thought the team sleepwalked and they probably took the Houston Texans for granted because they played uninspired. I don't know where that came from. Is that coaching or is that just the players not playing above their grade?
Well, you know, again, you know, the guys that win and lose the ball game, Leon, are the guys on the field. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's something missing there when there were so many mistakes that are not full speed mistakes. Guys lining up offside, you know, those kind of things. Those things don't bode well for the entire organization. So I think it's a combination of the two, but the one good thing about it is when the team did not make those kind of mistakes, they actually moved the ball decently. The other thing that bothered me a little bit was I didn't think they started running the football from the beginning of the football game. You know, they didn't try to establish anything early. And again, I think that would have helped Trevor Lawrence a great deal if they'd have started running the ball a little bit more early.
Yeah, Dave, and that's my point that I made at the beginning of the program. Again, former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo, here with us. James Robinson gets 5 carries for 25 yards. 5 carries for James Robinson. And I know there were a couple of holding penalties, but he did not register a carry in the entire first quarter of the game. I mean, what are we doing when the rookie quarterback has to throw it 51 times and you only run it 16 times? And by the way, they were averaging almost 5 yards a carry on the ground. They just did it so few and far between that it didn't matter.
Well, first of all, you know, obviously, which we all know, they got behind, but they weren't behind that far going in deep into the, you know, until that little stretch before the half. And so I think that they really could have used some time in there running the football and going into that thing. When I looked at the Houston team defensively, their weakness was stopping the run. So, you know, to me, I don't think that the plan was as good as it should have been, and I think they might have panicked a little early and just felt like they had to do something to juice the team up, and it just didn't work out.
Now, Coach, I totally agree with you when it comes to Trevor Lawrence. His best friend is going to be any type of running game. And what's troubling to me, being a former offensive lineman, is that this offensive line doesn't seem to have any kind of identity. I go back to the days when I was with the Steelers where Ron Earhart would come up to the offensive line and say, hey, listen, we want to get y'all going. What are y'all top 10 run plays so we can get our juices flowing? Even I'm pretty sure with you, Coach, when you was with the Cowboys, you had all pros across the board, and we knew as much as they had Troy and they had Mike and everything, we knew that that offense was built upon Emmitt Smith running the ball, you know, behind that stellar offensive line. And to not to let this offensive line get going early on to help out Trevor Lawrence, I think that's an indictment on the offensive coaching staff.
Well, and I have to agree with you there, Leon, because, you know, you look at what they did last year, you know, the one strength that they did have was running the ball. That offensive line, the inside interior guys, you know, were pretty darn good along with the tackles running the football. The problem that they had last year was in protection. And when you really look at it, one of the guys that has had the most problem in preseason and in this ball game was Khan. And Khan's a great run blocker, but he's not a great pass defender, and he has to, you know, pass block for three quarters of the ball game. There's going to be some times when guys come clean, and that's what happened in this ball game. There was too much pressure on him.
I always remind people, and we have Dave Campo on, he's known obviously for being the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but you are a defensive guy. That's what you did for many, many years, defensive back coach, coordinator. You are a guy that likes to stop the opposing team. Having said that, the Jaguars did not stop the Texans today at all. How concerning was it for you as a defensive guy to see that effort from the Jaguar defense today, Coach?
Well, you know, the thing that disappointed me the most is Houston just worked us over on the bunch pick routes and the crossing routes underneath. And, you know, I heard Leon made a comment a little earlier in the show where he said, well, you know, they might not have seen those kind of things, you know, going into it. When you're a man coverage team, when it's third and less than five, that's all you're going to see. Or if you're in the red zone, that's all you're going to see going in when everything is lateral rather than vertical. And not only did they, you know, you can do one of two things against those bunch routes. You can either, you know, go different levels of the three people playing it and cross each other, or you can pass them off. Well, they tried to go different levels, and they ended up on the same level and got picked off. Plus, they put Cooks in the backfield one time, and the safety misread who he was supposed to cover, and Cooks was wide open, you know, out of the backfield. So they didn't handle that at all. I thought they did a decent job, to be honest with you, inside against the running game. And I think that's the one thing that they've improved. The other thing they had a problem with today is they did have some guys clean. 45 was clean one time on one of the big plays where Tyrod Taylor jumped underneath. You know, and those kind of things, you got to make those plays. So I think it's things that they can clean up, but it's disappointing when you know you're a man football team and you can't handle a bunch of pick routes. You know you're going to see those going into the ball game.
Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of Chaisson's face. He thought he had a kill shot on Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor just did the oop-de-oop, ducked underneath, and Chaisson was left hugging air. That was kind of interesting. Coach, we're out of time. Go ahead.
He also had another one where he came clean, and Tyrod just jumped outside of him, and he couldn't stop. He's out of control. He's fast, but he's out of control.
Yeah, you got to settle down. It's one thing to get back there, but then you got to settle yourself down to actually make the tackle on the quarterback. Coach, we're out of time. More on Tuesday, but in our last 30 seconds with you, how quickly can they get this out of their system? I mean, the season, that 24-hour cycle is going to spin now. Denver's not going to care. They're coming in 1-0. They're pretty happy with the way things are going. They're going to be looking to go 2-0. Can the Jaguars get this out of their system pretty quick, in your opinion?
24-hour rule. Yeah. You know, you either get happy for 24 hours or you're sad for 24 hours. And then the coaching staff has to get back to, you know, what did we do wrong? How can we fix it? And get ready for the next ball game. You know, again, this football team is really a work in progress. And I definitely think that Trevor will have a better ball game the second time around.
Former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo. You get him every week here on the Fifth Quarter. You also hear him weekly with us during the middays on XL Primetime. Coach, thank you very much. We'll be talking to you in the next couple of days.
Okay, guys. My pleasure. Have a great night. Thanks.
It is the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. We are presented by Jacksonville's area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic. And we are live from Perfect Rack Billiards up in Murray Hill, Edgewood Avenue, 1186 Edgewood Avenue is the location. Again, every 1 o'clock Jaguar game this year, we will be at Perfect Rack Billiards, and we certainly appreciate Corey and everybody for having us out. Couple of segments to go. Houston, 37. Jacksonville, 21. Let's start looking ahead to the Denver Broncos, the home opener next week at TIAA Bank Field. Denver, a winner today over the New York Giants. We'll take a brief look ahead next here on the Fifth Quarter.
The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter, live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic on 1010XL.
Every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do get you caught up on the injury update. It's brought to you by Farrah & Farrah. Let's do that right now, the Farrah & Farrah injury update.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah & Farrah present this injury update. Farrah & Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
You know, the one thing, Leon, the one positive, I guess, that came out of this as well, not very much on the injury front for the Jaguars. A relatively healthy game. In fact, I'm trying to think if the trainer ever came out to look at any. But Houston got a couple guys banged up. In fact, their defensive tackle, Taylor, got carted off the field. But I can't remember a Jaguar being down today.
Well, did we play hard enough to get hurt?
Well, that you know what? That could be something as well.
That was a shot fired. But anyway, no, that's a good thing, though. That's a good thing. You've got to be lucky in this industry. You've got to stay healthy if you want to make any, if you want to win some ball games.
I mean, the ETN injury just was a shot to the solar plexus. But other than that, Jaguars are reasonably healthy now.
That's good. That's good. That's great news for this team.
Speaking of injuries, we talk about the Denver Broncos. They're coming in on Sunday for the Jaguar home opener here at TIAA Bank Field. It appears Jerry Jeudy, word out of Denver, a high ankle sprain. MRI pending. X-rays were negative. But if it is a high ankle for Jerry Jeudy, he's obviously not playing in 7 days. So the Jaguars catch a little bit of a break there as Denver will be without one of their starting wide receivers next Sunday.
You know what? This game has, in my opinion, I agree with Coach. You got a 24-hour rule. You didn't play as well as you should have played. You can watch the film. You make the corrections. And this week has got to be more about what you do than what Denver does. We've got to make some corrections on the offensive side of the ball. Trevor not turning the ball on. We got to establish the run. We got to take our shots down the field. And defensively, we got to get a pass rush. We got to stop the run, and we've got to be able to play decent man coverage.
We got about 30 seconds here. How much does Bradley Chubb and Von Miller concern you next week?
It scares the hell out of me, yeah. Especially, you know, with our tackle play. Now, Cam played a little decent this game, but Von Miller might be up in age, but he's still a legit pass rusher. So, Juwan Taylor is going to have his work cut out for him this Sunday.
You know, when I said I was a sausage guy like 5 years ago,
yeah,
I never thought that would stick with me all this time.
I just noticed
it's almost kind of like a calling card now when people see me out and about.
Listen, I go out and about and people say lemon pepper guy, so I get the same thing.
Well, there
bro.
You go. But we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Our first edition of the Fifth Quarter live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. One segment to go with Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you. It's 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter, live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, presented by Jacksonville Area Napa Auto Care Centers and Flamingo Septic on 1010XL.
Putting the final touches on week number one of the Fifth Quarter with Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you. All right, Leon, final thoughts. Houston, a 37-21 victory today over the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you take away from it? What do you hope the Jaguars learn from it?
It wasn't a good game. It wasn't a good performance by the Jaguars today. All you can do now is, like Coach Campbell said, 24-hour rule. All right? You just got to put this behind you. You got a home opener against the Denver Broncos next week. The fan base is excited about Trevor and Urban Meyer. And just go and represent. Play with some passion. Play with some desire. Play with some energy. We're going to have somewhere between 45 to 50 to 60,000 fans there to watch you play. Draw off that energy and give us a hell of a performance next week.
About 60 seconds here. Trevor Lawrence, week one today, week two tomorrow. How much do you hope that he grows? How much do you expect him to grow from what happened today to what will happen 7 nights from now?
He's going to learn from his mistakes. When he goes in there with Bevel and they go through the film, Bevel's going to point out to him, you know, this guy was open, that guy. Listen, he's a rookie. I mean, I know he's the first pick overall, but he's going to learn at this business that no one comes in and lights the NFL on fire. So he's going to have to grow week after week, and hopefully he gets better week after week.
All right, that'll put a wrap on week one here of the fifth quarter. Again, the Jaguars losing to Houston today, 37-21. In fact, the Houston Texans, the only team in the AFC South that won today. Jaguars lost. The Tennessee Titans lost big to Arizona at home. And Indianapolis loses today to Seattle. So Houston, just like everybody thought coming into the year, 1-0, and every other team in the AFC South is at 0-1. Leon, I enjoyed doing this so much that you and I are going to reconvene in 15 and a half hours.
That's right.
For XL Primetime on 1010XL.
In 12 of those hours, I will be asleep.
That is Leon Searcy. RJ Saunders, thank you for all your work tonight. I'm the hacker, Ryan Grain. Michael Phillips produced it for you back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Thank you to Perfect Rack Billiards. Murray Hill had a great time out here. This is our home for the fifth quarter this season, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. As always, we are presented by Jacksonville, Area Napa Auto Care Centers, and Flamingo Septic. Have a terrific evening, Jacksonville. Leon and I will talk to you tomorrow on XL Primetime, and we hope to see you right here next Sunday at Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Good night, everybody.